of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Yeah, it's today is November after Turkey Day. We have
the 24th. It's Saturday.
Saturday. Everybody's got a tryptophan hangover. So we're here in the studio, and my name is Mark Kemp. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, and we are brought to you by North State Consultants. And if you want to get a hold of us to help with our funding here, please call 530-221-0101 and talk to Linda. Again, today is November 24th, 2012. You're listening to 1460 KCNR Free Fire Radio. And I'm in the studio here with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our trusted soundboard operator and all-around great gal, Rachel.
Good morning.
And hopefully, that's Mike Zullo calling
hopefully.
In.
Hopefully. I was a little messed up on the days and everything, so hopefully we're okay.
Okay, it sounds like we're okay. Mike's on the line. Let's go through our little bit of house cleaning here, and then we want to get right to it. Our guest today is Mike Zullo. So that's awesome. And we were a little paranoid here. I thought I was going to have to do the soft shoe, tap dance on the table, but, you know, it happens. So we're
it's
good to go.
Good.
Okay, so let's see. Have you got any veterans events?
Yes, I do. Well, it's Serviceman's Feast coming up on December 1st at Veterans Memorial Hall. That's 1605 Yuba Street in Reading. They are still in need of toys, turkey, and ham. If you're interested in donating or getting more information, please give Fred a call at 530-226-9900. And remember, this is for, the troops' families, policemen, firemen. It's for all the service people out there. So it's a great cause, and we appreciate Fred and them putting it on for everybody.
Very good. Very good. So let's see. I guess my let's mention the tea party as well. Monday night, 6 p.m., Bonnie View Baptist Church. That's wrong. It's Destiny Fellowship. I never get that right. Destiny Fellowship, that's 2570 South Bonnieview. And, I'm not sure what's going on the Tea Party on Monday. I think everybody's a little shell-shocked and turkey bloated
we're kind of basically putting some groups together to start getting more involved out in the community and showing people what's out there and how they can get involved and, start making a difference here.
Absolutely. So let's see. Before we get to our guests, we got some quotes. First quote, politics, it seems to me for years or all too long, has been concerned with right or left instead of right or wrong. And that's from Richard Armour. So we're concerned more with right and left, it seems, than right or wrong. And I got to agree with that. The next quote is, some men change their party for the sake of their principles. Others change their principles for the sake of their party.
That's a scary one.
Yeah, that'd be Winston Churchill that said that. So I do want to mention the recount on Gary Cadd. That's going to be probably starting on Tuesday. They're going to do a complete recount of the votes, and we'll try to update you on this as we get more information. So it looks like it's being challenged in a bipartisan way.
Which we know can't really happen.
We went over that yesterday. Yeah. It's like bipartisan. What's the definition of a bipartisan? Well, it's unbelievable. It's like me supporting everything constitutional and then registering as a Democrat and saying I'm bipartisan.
There you go.
That's insane. So with that, I think we'll go. I think we're getting ready for our first break. Or are we going to go to our guests? Or let's go to our guests. I think we got Mike on the line and get it started here before we get into the first break. And let's just go from there.
Are you there, Mike?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How have you been?
We've been fighting the fight like everybody else.
Well, good.
Dismayed at the result, but you know, you pick up the pieces and move on.
Yeah, you know, it's what's it going to take? It's administration, if you for because I want to be kind, I guess, in my terminology, is criminal. I don't really know.
Let's just get it straight out there, folks.
Yeah, I didn't want to mask how I really felt, you know, but it's so true. I mean, when you look at all of the things that have happened in the last 4 years and probably what's coming down with regards to the Constitution, the covering up of the records in your investigation, Benghazi, you know, the czar appointments, it just goes on and on and on. And it amazes me to this day how people don't seem, there's a majority or a large portion of people, if not a majority out there, that don't seem to care about any of this stuff.
You're right. They don't care. They are kind of locked in their own little world, a little existence. And kind of like, you know, if I don't pay attention to it, it just all goes by anyway. And yet, to some degree, though, you kind of understand it in a very strange way. I mean, if you go back over the years, everything that they've been fighting about in Washington and arguing about or, you know, at odds with each other about, you haven't felt an effect other than I'm unemployed.
Right.
But that'll correct itself. That's what everybody is waiting for. Except I don't think that's going to happen this time.
Well, you know, I always say the truth becomes evident sooner or later. It might get covered up with a lot of lies, but sooner or later the truth will surface. And I guess that's what we have to hope for, whether it's economic truth or just the fact of how the administration has been operating. And what's interesting is it's so provable as well. It's we've got a Congress that's complicit with these guys at the higher levels. And so, you know, what do you do? I guess you just keep marching forward and hope we get to some lawful framework again.
I just don't, you know, at this juncture, I think you're right. You know, we have Congress that you really have to question what side are the two parties playing on. Is it on the same side or are they actually, you know, opposing each other?
Yeah.
And I don't know so much that they're opposing each other anymore.
Yeah.
I agree with that one.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I think you have an administration, if you want to call it that, which is being kind in calling it an administration, that is felonious from the foundation.
Yeah.
I think our document evidence proves that there's a problem here. The secrecy, the ability to bypass Congress, neuter Congress. Congress has no teeth. If you can't get a felony charge on somebody in Fast and Furious, if you can get a John Corzine to steal $1 billion and nobody knows where it is and no felony charges, HSBC, a criminal enterprise, laundering cartel money, and you can't get a criminal charge, there's something really wrong.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, the what's really wrong is the criminals are have escaped and they've widened the walls of the prison. Now it encompasses Washington D.C.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Corzine has been a real sticker in my side for a long time because that should be a pretty much a no brainer on filing charges. I mean, they've got people that have admitted, testified to the fact that he's the one that authorized the movement of the funds, you know, and J.P. Morgan, we know, is in the background there, and then London, where their clearinghouse is of the rules that don't apply any place. Yeah, so it's just it's a sad state of affairs at this point, and I'm not sure. I think we're looking for an economic Armageddon here pretty quick is what's going to happen. I think these guys aren't going to come to an agreement, and they're going to blame each other for the problem on this fiscal cliff that's coming. Because the cliff is not really much of a cliff as some of the other things that are going on.
Well, that's true, but, you know, at some point in time, you're going to meet the other side of that fiscal cliff.
I agree.
You can kick the can as much as you want. I don't think, I'll tell you, I'll go out on a limb. I don't think they get past the first quarter of next year without a major catastrophe financially in this country.
You know,
I just can't see how you could do it. Now, greater minds out there than me, but I don't think you have to be Houdini to figure out you can't keep spending money that you don't have.
I agree, Mike. Listen, let's go to our first break here, and then we'll come back, and then let's get updated on the cold case, the investigation on the birth certificate stuff.
Okay.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Feel tired, run down, or in pain? You don't have to live this way. Maybe we can help. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice on Court Street in Reading. Our customized program of body work and nutrition can give you renewed energy, a stronger immune system, and a healthier outlook on life. Call us at 244-7873. It's your health. You deserve it. The number again is 244-7873.
This holiday season, you may notice a change in mom or dad. Not taking medication, not eating, the refrigerator is bare, or not paying bills. They may need a little extra help. This is Jim Robinson with Senior Helpers. We can provide experienced screen caregivers from just a few hours a week up to 24/7. Help with light housekeeping, meal preparation, transportation assistance, running errands, personal care, even Alzheimer's and dementia care. If you need some help or advice, please give me a call. Senior Helpers, care and compassion at a moment's notice.
Our KCNR lineup is changing. The Roger Hedgecock Show is now heard weekday evenings 7 to 10 on KCNR. Roger holds their feet to the fire, and we've got him here at KCNR 1460. And Saturdays from 5 to 7 p.m., listen to Professor Hugh Hewitt, lawyer, law professor, and broadcast journalist, the most influential conservative you've never heard of. Roger Hedgecock and Hugh Hewitt join the on-air family here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, till I need you here. And it's a 4:30 and I'm shifting gear.
Yeah, that's Radar Love. Oh boy, you know, it's just a little discouraging, you know, when we think about all this stuff, and where we're headed. But, I want to get an update, Mike, from, the cold case, posse, files here and, this Hawaiian official thing. Now, I don't know if I've got this information right. I think I got it secondhand, and, isn't there any way that you could actually charge these officials for withholding information on a legitimate investigation?
We really can't, because we run into jurisdictional problems.
Ah.
That is why Sheriff Arpaio has been pushing for a congressional investigation that would have the power to get around some of those hurdles. Anything that we wanted to do in Hawaii, we would literally have to get a court in Arizona. It would have to be represented by the state of Arizona, so it would have to be the state's attorney general, to put in motions and try to compel a court in Hawaii to fulfill the request.
Otherwise, you'd have to get. I was going to say, otherwise, you'd have to call in the DOJ. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
That's been another problem. Obviously, if we didn't have the problems we have with the DOJ, we would be using them from the onset. We would have turned this over a long time ago.
Right.
We do believe that we have enough information. And what people have to understand, what we would turn over would be investigational information.
Right.
Because they would have to take that information and then conduct their own investigation to prove it trustworthy, which wouldn't take very long to do. But we would turn over the information. The problem that we have, obviously, with the DOJ and other federal organizations is, you know, they all report to the one guy upstairs in the White House.
Right. Yeah.
And we've seen
Eric Holder's a stellar guy. I mean, he's never been a problem about obstructing investigations or obstructing justice, has he?
Oh, no, because in his mind, he's not obstructing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's protecting his boss.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you look so at that. Go ahead.
We've run into that hurdle. We've had that problem. But going forward, our investigation still continues. We're not stopping. We're actually conducting it, you know, as we speak.
So is there anything new?
We know we're right.
So is there anything new that we should get updated on in evidence so forth that would give us some more pieces of the puzzle so we could figure this thing out, you know, because there's still some speculation here. We don't really know whether he was born in Hawaii or not. We speculate that he's not. We can't prove it at this point because we don't have the birth certificate. And all of the other evidence points that he registered as a foreign aid student, but we can't prove that either. So, I mean, what else do you have here that we can hang our hat on?
Well, I went back to Hawaii for a second time, and in doing that, I did speak to the family of Virginia Sunohara. Virginia Sunohara was a little baby girl born the same day as Obama, and only lived for about 23 hours. So she was born the same day as Obama, and I believe she died the following afternoon. That little girl's birth certificate number is wildly off compared to Obama's or that of the Nordyke twins. Obama's, I believe, is 10,061 or something to that effect. And little Virginia's is up in the 11,000s. That would put her birth 10 days after she was born to have a number like that. In other words, there would have been 480 other births born to get that number. And what that tells us is her number being so wildly off, it is impossible for her number to be so far out of sync and be accepted by the state registrar's office. We contacted the only living person who, if the birth certificate was indeed a document at any time, would have handled it. That was Verna K. Lee. She's 95 years old. She was contacted, and she laid out for us the procedure for numbering and checking on birth certificates and checking the vital information contained in those certificates. And her recollection, which was amazingly accurate, was supported by other information that we obtained from documents from that time period. And it would have been impossible for Virginia Sunohara's birth certificate number, registration number, to be so wildly off. That document is now in question. The family has tried repetitively to get the release of her long-form birth certificate, and they have been staunchly opposed by Hawaiian officials.
Why?
They've lost every court battle. Well, you have to realize what may have happened here. And what I'm going to tell you now is going to be some speculation on our part, because I can't prove it yet. But there's a good chance that Mr. Obama's birth certificate did actually exist in a written form as a registered birth, meaning a family member went in and declared the birth. It didn't happen in a hospital and probably didn't happen in the state of Hawaii. But Hawaii law in that time period allowed for that process to happen, and we have evidence of this process happening. The fact that it was just reported would have meant it would have information missing off the document that would have been contained in the document had the child been born in a hospital, much like the Nordyke twins born in Kapalani Hospital. Hawaii law also allows for an amendment process to a birth certificate. And it's very vague on what they'll accept as documentation, but we know that they would accept an affidavit of someone who claims to have been present when this occurred and would have put down pertinent information. And you can change, if you can believe this, you can change the name of the birth father. You can change the locations. You can change almost everything on the document except for the name of the person whose birth is registered. Hawaii law also says that if you do that, the document then has to be clearly marked amended if, in fact, it is ever printed out and to be used in any kind of proceeding. So that document then would have to say right at the bottom an amended certificate by Hawaii law. That would have been problematic because had the White House released what was called an amended certificate, it would have raised all kinds of questions.
Yeah, people would have started digging. Yeah,
and let us see the information that was amended.
Hmm.
So putting the pieces together, it looks like in order to get a birth certificate number, because Hawaii is computerized and Hawaii keeps the hard copies in a bound document file, that they would have had to use somebody else's number. And they could have used Virginia Sunahara's number. It would have been in their computerized database. And the way the computerized database is that we understand is constructed is once you utilize a number, you can't change it. The number is registered there to that particular spot in that database. Now, you may be able to change information on the certificate, but you can't change the number. They would have had to get close to the Nordyke twins' birth certificate numbers to have it be reflected in that computerized database. So when the Sunaharas went in requesting now the deceased little girl, which, you know, and again, this is conjecture, speculation on our part, would have been a forgotten about individual, never coming forward to claim their birth certificate, now they had a problem.
Right.
And they would have had to issue her a different birth certificate number.
Hmm.
And that's why it would have been wildly off when they got this certificate about 2 years ago.
What
the family has been doing is trying to see the original document, and it is like fighting the forces of hell to see it.
You'd think that somebody could step in here and subpoena these documents or, you know, Freedom of Information Act or something. I mean, just so we could get to the bottom of it, whether it's actually, there's a legitimate problem here or not with those records. And, you know, it sounds to me like anybody could come in from out of state, out of country, and just say you're born here. And there's really no way to check. It just happened that, you know, you could get the records if you weren't the president, it sounds like. So, if the president wasn't stonewalling you, to get the records or however this is working, I don't know. There's some kind of a conspiracy network making sure this stuff doesn't get out there. Are they afraid of charges? Why would the Hawaiian officials go to such lengths to withhold this stuff?
Well, you know, if you go on to subscribe to the notion that this was now done with the cooperation of somebody in the Department of Health or Hawaii officials, they're all looking at felonies. Nobody's going to want this to get out there. The other thing you have to realize, too, is you don't know who the players are involved. This birth certificate could have been manufactured by a small group, one, two, three individuals, and everybody else involved has no knowledge it was manufactured. They're just signing off on this thing.
Right.
Thinking it's real. But I have a problem with that because I did go to Hawaii and I did meet with Jill Magamini, a deputy attorney general for the state. We wanted to meet with Mr. Onaka, the registrar, to have him verify that what the White House released was, in fact, the document that was given to Mr. Obama's attorneys upon request. We got there and presented our credentials and were told that Mr. Onatka doesn't talk to the public. So at our insistence, we finally got an attorney general, assistant attorney general. She was not forthcoming. She would not verify for us the document was in fact what was given. As a matter of fact, during the course of our conversation, we really came away with the impression this is not what was given to Mr. Obama's attorneys, because she gave us a statement in saying that once they release the document, the White House is free to do with it whatever they want.
Listen, Mike, we got to go to a break now, and we'll be right back. So hold those thoughts. I mean, let's stay on this line of thinking.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
I just got back from Tobacco and Brew. Guess what? They have a special cigar selection ready to go and packaged for Christmas.
Wow, ready to go? Hey, what kind of coffees do they have?
Pumpkin spice latte and my favorite, Jack Frost.
You know, they also have a new selection of humidors and great wines. All the things we love. Hey, hon, hop in the truck. Let's go.
We'll see you there this holiday season at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Ron Lim from Lim's Pharmacy. My staff and I would like to invite you to come and try our personalized, fast, friendly service that has always been the foundation of our pharmacy. We have been serving the Reading area for over 30 years. We solve insurance problems quickly and efficiently. We accept Medi-Cal, work comp, and most insurances. Lim's Pharmacy is located inside the Shasta Community Health Center at Placer and Continental Streets. And you don't have to be a patient of the clinic to come to us. Call us at 241-8700 for more info. Thank you.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. You know, for years, I've tried to stay in shape. Sometimes life gets busy with family, work, activities, so it takes a commitment to take time to work out, and that's a good thing. I know I personally feel so much stronger, clearer, and that I have been good to myself when I do work out. So I go to Adamson's Peak Performance, hands down the gym of choice. The staff of highly skilled trainers approach you like a family. If you suffer from chronic pain or a recent injury, the team at Adamson's will design a program to help you be your best. Go to the experts at Adamson's Peak Performance. Feel safe, informed, fulfilled. It's more than a gym. It's a family. Adamson's Peak Performance also has boot camps. In fact, I'm in one right now. My husband has noticed a difference, and so do I. Adamson's Peak Performance on Bocelli, next to Yak.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Yeah, you know, let's get back on our line of thinking here, I'm always speculating that Mr. Obama is born in Kenya because of the time frames of the trip that they took to Kenya. And I think it was kind of an accident, and this is my theory alone, that he was born in Kenya by accident. And then when they went back to the States, that they had to figure out a way to do this and get him registered for the benefits that he would receive as an American citizen as opposed to a foreign national. So anyway, let's get back on our line of thinking. That was just my little intro back in with the Wimbaway stuff.
Well, I'm just kind of curious, Mike. Is it hard to obtain copies of the long-form birth certificate, say, like years before or years after Obama's so-called birth in Hawaii?
They changed their regulations over there, their procedures as to what they're going to give out. And they did this as our investigation began. They decided that they would no longer release long-form birth certificates.
Period.
However, they broke it. They broke that for the president. And they broke their procedure completely.
So during the in the middle of the investigation, they changed the policies on release them. Now they won't release any of the long-form birth certificates to anybody, but they do release it to the president, supposedly with this computer-generated thing that he published from the White House. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what they did. And in the hearings for the fight over the Sunahara birth certificate, Jill Nagamini, the same attorney general that we met with, happens to be the individual representing the state in this proceeding. And she tells the court that the request of the petitioner is arduous task, it is time-consuming, expensive, and these documents are 50 years old, and they need to be preserved. You know, and this could damage them. Well, we know that that's a crock.
Yeah, that's a crock.
And the irony is, about 2 years ago, a Dr. Facchino, who was the director of the department 2 years ago, gave an interview to CNN, who claimed she simply walked in the vault, opened the book, and there it was.
Yeah,
how arduous is that?
That's the procedure, and why would they, if these records are so at risk for damaging them, then why would you keep them in the first place and let nobody see them? It's like, what's the point?
Exactly. What's the point? I mean, it's really nice that the state has all your information, but you're not privy to it.
But and nobody, right. But nobody can have it. Not even, you know.
No.
Insane. Yeah, there's, you know, I don't care who you are. I just want to get to the truth, and like I say, I don't care who you are, whether you're right, left. You'd think that everybody out there would want to know the truth about this, and put it to bed. I mean, that's really been Arpaio's position from day one, is let's put this thing to bed. But it just gets worse and worse and worse the farther down the rabbit hole we go, it seems like.
It does, and people don't realize the significance of this. You know, we're talking about the rule of law at this point. We're talking about someone coming in and created a document. I can take the president completely out of the equation. I could sit there and really say, I do not believe Barack Obama physically manufactured his own birth certificate. I don't think he did it. But somebody did it.
Right.
And now that somebody utilized the document, gave it to the White House, the White House in turn utilized the document, and the president made the representations.
I mean,
I'm sorry that that's the way it goes out for a lot of people, but it was the president who said, this is mine.
Well, you know, the rule of law, I think a lot of these guys aren't getting, and that's probably a lack of education or maybe more in terms of a huge amount of indoctrination, that the fact is that if you're giving all this power to the presidency through executive orders, circumventing the rule of law and the Constitution, then you better be ready to pass all of that on to the next guy who comes in. And that next guy could be Stalin, for all you know. And I don't think people get that. I mean, if they didn't like Bush and what he did and the power he had, why would you give more power to that position or circumvent the restrictions of your power so you can pass it on to the next guy? It makes zero sense to me, because sooner or later you are going to have somebody, just with a matter of the odds, that's going to step in there, that's going to abuse it. Not that the guy we got in power now is abusing anything, but, you know, it could be abused even worse.
Well, I think that you're actually going to see that in the next 4 years.
I agree.
I think he is that guy. And I think that this was done by design. I mean, I had problems with the election itself.
I agree.
You know, I'm watching and I'm, you know, being tuned into this now, and I don't know if I ever said this on your show, but I was not a birther. I was never interested in any of this. This investigation came my way.
Right.
And I purposely was flipping through all the news networks from about 6:30 Arizona time to 9 o'clock. And it became very apparent at about 7 o'clock our time, which would have been a two-hour difference on the East Coast, that something was wrong. It was too orderly, called too quickly, and the pundits, especially on the liberal networks, appeared not to have a care in the world and were calling this thing for Obama before Ohio and Florida even closed.
Well, and look at the candidate that the Republicans put up and what happened at the Republican National Convention with the circumventing of the rules and Boehner reading off of a scripted teleprompter. The whole thing stinks to high heaven, if you ask me.
It does. And, you know, if you go back to the conventions, I think you could really come away with, you know, something very disconcerting. I mean, on the Democratic platform, God's not even safe.
Right. No, there's nothing safe. These guys are...
Nothing is sacred.
That's why I think they're working together at the higher end, because, you know, it's like with what happened with Mr. Paul or Dr. Paul. I mean, just getting... They were so afraid of him speaking on the platform about liberty and the Constitution. You know, whether he even had a chance was not even the issue, but they were ready to disenfranchise, you know, a huge amount of their supporters based on the fact that they didn't want anything on the platform, and the Republicans, in my opinion, aren't following their own platform. They're supposed to be the conservative, let's follow the Constitution guys.
Well, yeah, it's pretty evident that maybe a lot of these Republicans that we've elected don't really have a firm grasp of their Constitution.
Yeah, exactly. True. You know, it's funny, Mike, that you say that you weren't a birther, because I was never a birther either. How I got started on this was I was going to put this to bed as a little pet project for the radio show here. So I started, and what I do is I do a lot of legal research, because my business is taxes, so I understand law. I've been had some training. I took all of the courses to actually become a tax attorney, and so I know how to go in and do some research. And so the first thing I researched was the natural born citizen thing, and I thought, well, let's start there. And I stayed up all night one night researching the natural born citizenship thing, and what I came away with is it didn't matter whether he was born in Hawaii or not. The fact that his father was not an American citizen circumvented the Constitution right there, and that's when this whole thing started for me. I was like, doesn't anybody know this or see this? There's Supreme Court decisions. It's really plain, the founding fathers' intentions, their papers. I even went back to the courses in William and Mary College that they were taking on natural born citizens, and it's just amazing to me, this whole thing.
Well, and you know what it is, and the same thing that happened to you happened to me. It's when you start to do your own research, the answers are there.
Yep.
And it becomes something tangible to you. You just telling somebody is nothing more than them watching a reality show on television.
Yep.
They hear it, and then they go about eating their Cheerios. It's when you do the work, when you spend those hours. Let me take that little segment that you talked about, natural born citizen, take it one step further. When I was doing my research, we came across the case in 1800s. I can't remember the name now, but it was a Justice Gray who gave an opinion on the natural born clause.
Right.
Except he was a Chester Arthur appointee. President Arthur lied about his citizenship.
Right.
Not the first time this has happened. Lied about his citizenship. Justice Gray was an appointee. He took an opportunity to use a court case to set the foundation for Chester Arthur. And what he did in there is he talked about Battelle's Law of Nations.
Right.
And what he talked about was that it was not utilized in the drafting of the Constitution.
That's baloney.
I have a document, a thank you letter written by Benjamin Franklin. We took it and got it certified out of the Library of Congress, where Franklin, 1 year before the Constitution was ratified, 1 year before, was thanking a French individual for sending three copies of Battelle's Law of Nations.
Yeah, I've read that letter.
And in the thank you. Right, well, in the thank you, he says, it's in the hands of Congress, and it is being referred to often.
Yep.
So does it get any cleaner than that?
Yeah, it's incredible. In fact, they even refer to the Law of Nations in a prior section of the Constitution under the, I can't remember the section.
Yes, you're right. And it does, and it talks about all that. I'll tell you the biggest thing what people do not understand. This was something, when I found this out, I began to cringe. We don't understand the treaty process. Americans do not understand that every time a UN treaty is signed, you lose constitutional protections. They don't understand it. And what I really think is going to be the shot across the bow is when Americans start to wake up and realize You've been sold out of your constitutional rights.
Yep.
By the wave of a pen.
Yep. I think the
and
Second
that's
Amendment.
That's what Obama's doing.
I think the Second Amendment is going to be the line drawn in the sand. That's my personal belief, because that one will wake people up across the board. It already is, because you can talk all you want about treaties in the UN, but you ain't taking my gun.
Right. So. And I do, and I am very concerned that isn't the vehicle that they use. You know, the problem you have with this, if you're attacking the Constitution, at some point in time, somebody's going to have to declare somebody an enemy combatant of the Constitution.
Yep.
Somebody's going to become an enemy of the Constitution. But you have to think about this. The very powers that are in place now, the reason why they want to take your guns isn't for some noble reason. They're afraid of those guns being used on them.
Yeah, as a protection against their overreach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Once they can disarm you, they could really run roughshod over you. But you have to ask yourself a question. If they make that move, the very power that these people possess, they will use that power to put you down.
Yep.
They will turn that power on you. That could be a bloodbath in this country that
well,
I hope never happened.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's scary. And, you know, that could be the martial law thing. And look what happened in Germany, you know, with Hitler and all the, you know, they had to have a big crisis and blame somebody before they finally took over. So I don't know, you know, if that's going to happen in America. They were already disarmed in Germany. So it wasn't as big a bloodbath as it would be here, I agree, because most people are not going to let the UN override their constitutional rights as far as gun ownership, regardless of what they say. So listen, Mike, we got to go to a break here. We got about 10 minutes after that, and then we'll wrap it up.
All right, this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock. I am an rock.
Joining the revolution at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is here to provide the finest names in weapons, ammunition, optics, and accessories. We also offer repairs and custom gunsmithing. Bastiani Arms is pleased to announce that we now have in stock the best and largest selection of off-list AR low receivers in the North State. Looking for instruction in hunter safety, concealed carry, or Florida's concealed carry class? Bastiani Arms provides the finest instruction with our NRA-trained instructors. Come check out our in-store product and enjoy the friendly, helpful, and knowledgeable service you'll get with each and every visit. Don't forget to ask Bastiani Arms about their 90-day layaway for your convenience. If you want the best in weapons, service, and shooting supplies, then Bastiani Arms should be your first stop. Satisfaction guaranteed. Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur Lane, open Tuesdays through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or call us at 222-8222.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America.
This Sunday, we welcome Eagle Forum of California president, author, and former teacher Orlean Kale. We'll examine the Common Core State Standards Initiative, the latest education program from the Obama administration. Orlean warns it's a Trojan horse fraught with deception, danger, lower standards, and enormous costs. We the People, Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on AM 1460, KCNR.
Hear us streaming 24-7 on KCNR1460.com.
You can run on for a long time, run on,
for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Yeah, you know, I ran across that in the archives last night, and it's sort of, yeah, it's a little different than what we usually play, but my gosh, I think that was appropriate. So that was Mr. Cash, and I'd never even seen that before, but interesting song.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, we're back with Mike Zullo and the Cold Case Posse lead investigator, and we're trying to get to the bottom of this, boy, I'll tell you what, the never-ending rabbit hole. So where were we, Mike?
We were talking about the Constitution.
Okay.
Congress really not understanding their own Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you think of Pelosi.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, read the bill, the Constitution, are you serious? And I mean, she's the Speaker of the House, or was the Speaker of the House, not the minority leader, but it's like, that's the Speaker of the House at the time saying the Constitution doesn't matter. I mean, that's just sickening.
It is sickening, and, you know, this whole nightmare really is solved by a strict adherence to the Constitution.
That's the answer. You're totally right.
And the answer to Obama, quite frankly, is it's a 24-hour process to get to the bottom of it. It's called DNA.
Yep.
DNA will solve this.
Yep.
It'll solve it in a heartbeat, because we don't believe that the purported father was the father, and we don't believe that the purported mother was the mother. We do believe that she was an au pair, and this was a business arrangement. And we don't think that back in the 60s that he was destined to be president then, but there was some other things going on, because when you start to follow the money seems to come from, you know, Saudi Arabia and things like that.
There's some big backers here someplace, you know. I mean, I you know, haven't been able to figure out exactly what the motivation is, but you're totally right. I mean, there's some big backers here someplace. Some guy who's just a minor senator out of Chicago, not even a full-term senator, is all of a sudden the president? I mean, that's insane.
He came out of nowhere. I do remember, though, when I was just, you know, watching the news at night, I heard his speech that he gave at one of the conventions when he was a senator, and they started touting him then as a presidential hopeful. And I remember then looking up, but who is this guy? Who is he?
Yeah, and we still don't know who he is.
Emerged. No, and we don't know who he is. You know, his associations with Bill Ayers from the Weather Underground are long and deep, and he has the audacity to tell you that he was just a guy in the neighborhood. He really didn't know him. His senatorial campaign was done in Bill Ayers' living room, and he tells you he doesn't know him. There isn't a thing that I could recall that this man has been truthful about as far as his past is concerned. He wrote memoirs, purportedly got a $140,000 advance at 35 years old to write memoirs. He was a nobody, and he's writing his memoirs that later on now we understand is a complete work of fiction. And it is a complete work of fiction. He described girlfriends in his memoirs that came right out and said, this never happened. And we know that they are fictitious individuals. He just made it up. I mean, so you have a president that's background appears to be manufactured.
Yeah, boy, that's
everything
scary.
About him appears to be manufactured. There isn't one critically important document in his background that isn't flawed five times over. The coincidence level on this, the odds against it are so high, you couldn't get a bookie in Las Vegas to take that bet.
Yeah.
And we have this guy sitting in the White House.
It's amazing. And look at all of his associations, all his appointees, Valerie Jarrett, you know, it seems like every one of these guys is not just hard left, but, you know, most of them are, you know, out and out communist or with communist ties.
Well, and really what you're seeing now is just a manifestation of a plan hatched, you know, decades and decades ago. And if you pull up the congressional record and pull up the 45 goals of communism, which a Floridian senator entered into the congressional record, I think in 63, you will see those goals. They've accomplished just about all of them.
Yeah.
We're in the push now.
Yep.
And this is the guy to do it. He is systematically taking the United States and transferring our resources and power to the UN. If you start to follow and understand the UN is really nothing more than a vehicle to dominate the world. It is nothing more than a vehicle to usher in socialism and ultimately communism, which I think they're synonymous, to be honest with you. We like to break them down as if there's something different. Socialism leads to communism. There's just no other way around it.
Yeah, I had a quote the other day. The only difference between socialism and communism is that socialism is voted in and communism is forced, but they both have the same end result.
Same end result. And, you know, and actually, I mean, that is so apropos for the times we're in because we have voted in socialism.
Yep.
It is sitting in there now. And socialism is just a means to full-blown communism.
And look at
I never thought Agenda 21 was real.
Yeah,
UN website.
Yeah, that's another can of worms. I mean, you know, but you look, if you remember, the media has been so complicit in this, and that's one of the reasons we're struggling so much here, is that if you go back and look at when he was first elected, if you called him a socialist, I mean, it was like, oh, you guys are all crazy right-wing nut jobs. Well, we've morphed into, you could actually call this guy a communism, and nobody even denies it or thinks it's a bad thing anymore.
No, they're not. They're not. They think they've got the country won. They think they've got the mandate. They think the scales have been tipped. I just have a problem with the voting.
Right.
I don't know who voted. I don't know where it says in the Constitution that if you're not a citizen, you have the right to vote in our election.
Well, you know, when 108 precincts in Ohio report out of 100%, you know, 100% or becoming 108%, and when you have zero in Philadelphia, not one vote for Romney out of 59 precincts, I mean, you got to start wondering. And then there's the Florida thing, and it looks to me like there's fraud across the board on this whole thing. I mean, you know, they were going to win this election whether it was legal or not.
I know someone who was with Mr. Romney the night of the election, and it was reported back to me that they went into this believing they had won it.
Right.
And Mitt Romney was in shock when the votes were coming out.
I believe it. I believe that they were kind of set up as the sacrificial lamb. I think he might be a great guy. He might not be in on it. But it's really tough to buy. And well, you look at his five biggest contributors to his campaign fund were all the banks. I mean, it was all, you know, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and so forth. So, you know, they're backing both sides of the campaign. They're running almost a false election, basically, in my opinion, and they're calling them the winner.
Well, you know, and the banks that you're speaking of really are the powers that are taking over the economy.
I agree.
So they're all in bed with each other, and the problem that you've got with this is you've got outward appearances look one way. It's what they're doing behind the curtain that matters.
So maybe what we need to do is think about what can we do about this towards the future as time goes on, other than we're being getting involved in local, state, and federal. But maybe we can have you back and you can think about solutions for us, Mike, on another day, because we're running out of time here, of what we can actually do to stop this, reverse this, or stem the tide. I don't know if you have any suggestions, but it would sure be nice to get some perspective how we can go the other way.
Well, I'm actually, it's funny you're saying that because I actually am working on that.
Good.
And I think I have some things that, the one thing I could, you know, point your listeners into an area is you have to work in your home level. You have to work in your home state.
Yep. You have to be local.
Take on the fence, bring it down to a state level. You can do more in your own state.
Yeah. We've been doing it locally and we're starting to have some success. And I think that's the big solution is everybody's got to get involved locally and get involved politically locally so that we can start changing it here. So we're totally out of time. Yeah,
we're
out of time, Mike. We're really
so glad that you called in. It was great talking with you and we hope to have you back with the solutions and go over that for our listeners.
Sounds good. You guys be safe.
You too. Thanks for all you're doing, Mike. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Hundreds of protesters back in Cairo's Tahrir Square opposing Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi's declaration that every decision he makes is legal. Judges now on strike, closing down courts. Most of them were appointed by President Morsi's predecessor, Hosni Mubarak. The president and his supporters say this declaration is temporary to stop those judges from blocking political progress. Building inspectors are checking out homes near a strip club in Springfield, Massachusetts that blew up in a gas explosion. A dozen buildings around it were damaged when the Garbarino was around.
It was an impact, and it felt like the roof was just going to cave in on us, and we shook. And we just looked at each other like, this cannot be happening. And that's when we decided to look out the window, and we saw the smoke coming up.
18 people hurt, mostly firefighters on the call. The immediate area had been evacuated about an hour before.